Masechta Shviyos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Tes. Mashalas Isha Lechaverta HaChashuda Al Shviyos. A woman is allowed to lend to her chaverta, to her friend, who's Chashuda Al Shviyos, who's suspect of not keeping the halachas of Shviyos of Shemitah properly. She's allowed to lend to her Nafa, a sifter, Ukvara, and a sieve, Virechayim, and a mill, v'taner, and an oven. Even though all these things were potentially and most likely to be used for food process, for the process of making food, and the woman who suspected on Shemitah, not keeping Shemitah, she may have produce that was kept in her house even after the Zman Abir, which is the Zman that when there's no longer fruit outside in the field, then one has to relinquish whatever they have indoors and send it outdoors for whoever wants. So someone who keeps it indoors after the Zman Abir is not allowed to benefit from it. Nonetheless, the woman is allowed to lend to her friend these items, and even though the friend is suspected of not keeping the halachas of Shemitah, because there is a possibility that all these things could be used for non-food purposes. However, she cannot help her friend do the sorting or the grinding and working on the produce from Shemitah, because that's directly aiding her friend in transgressing the halachas of Shemitah, and that she's not allowed to do. To give over the items, because the possibility that they may not be used for food, that's acceptable, but you can't hands-on help them work with the food with these items. The Mishnah says a similar case now, but not discussing Shemitah, rather discussing the Tumah, contracting Tumah to food. Eishes Chaver, Mashalas, Le'eishes Amaretz, the wife of a Chaver, who is someone that keeps the standards of keeping their food tahar, not allowing it to become tamei, they can lend to the Eishes Am Aretz, to the wife of Am Aretz, who is not careful about being metame food. She can lend her nafa, a sieve, a sifter, ukvara, and a sieve. And not only that, ubayreres v'teichenes umaraketes ima. She can also even sort and grind and sift together with her. And this is permitted because there's nothing wrong with working with these foods that the Meiser has not taken off before. But Aval Misha Tatal Amayim Leitiga, once the water gets mixed into the flour, then Leitiga Etzla, you should not help and touch the dough together with her, because the Eishes Amaretz is assumed to be Tame, and her utensils are assumed to be tame, and once the water mixes with the flour, it now becomes obligated in challah, and it's not allowed to become tame, and helping her at this point is going to be aiding her in causing the dough to become tame, which is not allowed. She'ein machzikin yidei eiver avera, you're not allowed to actually be machzik, help and assist those that are doing averis, so you can't actually help her knead and cause the dough that has challah within it to become tame. The Mishnah now sums this up, v'kulan, all these leniencies of lending them these utensils and the help that you're allowed to give in those cases that you're allowed to help, lo amru, Chazal only permitted these things el mipnei darkei shalom. Really, it's only because, only mipnei darkei shalom, for the sake of peace. Really, these utensils are most likely going to be used to be violating some form of halacha and really shouldn't be given in the first place, but for the sake of peace, if there was some possibility that they wouldn't be used to violate halacha, so then they were allowed to be lent and assistance given in the cases mentioned. The Mishnah says, similarly, umachzikin yidei avdi kechavim b'shvius, similarly also for the sake of shalom, for the sake of peace, you're allowed to give chizuk, words of encouragement to non-Jews who are working on the land during Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. Avalo yidei Yisrael, but you can't give chizuk to a Yid, a Jew, who's working on the field on Shemitah. And also, v'shalem v'shleimam, you can also greet the non-Jews using the term shalom. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem, but you can greet them using the term Shalom even on one of their holidays, which might cause them to give thanks to their Avodah Zarah. But this was allowed, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, for the sake of peace. So these were other takanas that were allowed for the sake of peace. Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. Shalosh Aratzis L'Shvius, there's three different boundaries of land regarding the halachas of Shemitah. And for this, the sub-introduction is necessary. There were different stages to the Kedushas Ha'aretz, to the sanctification of the land in Eretz Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they went through the desert, they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was sanctified at that time. When they went to Galus Bavel after the destruction of the first base of Migdash, the sanctification that was done originally was lost, was undone. And then, when they came back after Galus Bavel, Ezra brought the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, he re-sanctified the land with a Kedusha that would be everlasting and not limited to the standing of the second base of Migdash. It lasts even after the destruction of the second base of Migdash. But Ezra did not sanctify the exact land that was originally sanctified by Yeshua when they came in the first time. So the first sanctification of the land is batal, it's null and void, it no longer exists. The second sanctification by Ezra exists eternally, but it's limited, it's not on all the land that the original sanctification was. So this causes three different halachic statuses of the lands, as the Mishnah is now going to explain. Shalosh Aratzis L'Shvius, there's three different land areas regarding the halachas of Shemitah. Kol Sheh Ziku Oyli Bavel, the land that was taken by the people that came up from Bavel, this is with Ezra, Oyli Bavel Me'eretz Yisrael, the land that they took and they were Mexican, Me'eretz Yisrael Ad Kiziv, from the southern part of Eretz Yisrael all the way up until Kiziv, which is a city in the north. So all that area was sanctified by Ezra, and it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Midaraisa. So then it has all the halachas of Shemitah, which are le'nechal. One cannot eat from produce that was kept in the house after the Zman Habir, which we discussed earlier. Ve'le'nevad, and he can't work the land in that area. That's category number one. Category number two is ve'kol she'hechzik eilim Mitzrayim, all the land that those that came up from Mitzrayim, so this was the first sanctification of Eretz Yisrael, that land that was sanctified the first time, but it was not re-sanctified by those that came up the second time from Bavel, that land is Mekaziv, from that city of Kaziv that's up in the north. So from that city, Va'ara Nahar, to the river that's in the east of that northern city of Kaziv, and Va'ara Mana, to the Amana, which is mountains that were in the to the west. So this is north, up north, and to the west of the city of Kaziv. So these areas that extended east and west of Kaziv, on the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, those lands were not part of the second sanctification, only part of the first sanctification, and therefore, nechal, one is allowed to eat fruit that is kept in the house even after the Zman Habir, avalei nevad, but he cannot work the land in that area. So the first halacha differs, but the second halacha it's the same. And this area, it's only midirabanan. The fact that they weren't allowed to work the land is not midiraisa, it's only midirabanan, because really there was no kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And the third category of land is mina nahar ve'amana v'lefnim, from this nahar and from amana, which we mentioned that we just mentioned, that was the boundary of the northern boundary of the original sanctification. From there and further north, which is not part of Eretz Yisrael at all, nechal v'nevad, one is allowed to eat what's kept after the Zman Habir, and v'nevad, he's allowed to work the land, because that's not part of Eretz Yisrael at all, and therefore it doesn't have these restrictions of Shemitah that apply within Eretz Yisrael.